trial and sustenance. And we come to remember the Lord this morning. This is a privilege to be around the table and enjoying what our Saviour enjoys as being here to praise Him for what He's done for the Calvary. And thank the Father for His Son, His beloved Son, who gave His life for us. And when you think of the things that's going on around the world, that people laugh at us for being here, and the things that we believe. But we know by Scripture that's the way it will be, because things are going to wax worse and worse. For the last few meetings I have taken in 1 Samuel. And I think I finished in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And it's in verse 1 to 4. In verse 18, or chapter 18 and verse 1 to 4, we find David again, and David was mentioned around the table. David was a wonderful man. And as we were speaking this morning, he had his good moments, his good points and his bad points, as we all have. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, and it came to pass that when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit was the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. He was fulfilling the commandment, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul, and shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whatsoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. To be knitted means oneness. Jonathan loved David as his own soul. They were just one. It was just like a marriage. The two become one. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it tells us that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and in all the riches of the fullness of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We also read in Samuel 22, and just come with me, if you may, before we start. I'd like to get them. And David, therefore, in verse 1, David, therefore, departed hence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down hither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, they gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there was with him about 400 men. Some gathered, some group of people were gathered round the exiled king. Saul was trying to kill him, and all these people had gathered around David. This is a picture of our Saviour and Lord. All kinds were gathered, as he had called, all kinds of sinners, condemned and unclean, the distressed, and those in debt and discontented. Oh, there's discontentment in our world today. No matter where you go, no matter who they are, even about Christians as well, sadly, gathered themselves unto him, and he became the captain. Our Savior is the captain and the author and the finisher of our faith. What a God we have this morning to praise and to thank. And these mighty men were used by him, but they weren't perfect, but they were used. A.W. Tozer says this: do not follow any leader until you see the mark of the oil on his forehead. And David had the anointment of God. There's men following, there's people following men today, and they're not right. False doctrines and everything are coming into the assemblies and being preached. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon learnt this lesson, which runs through the Bible, that in God's service, weakness is not a liability, but is an access. For Zechariah tells us in chapter 4, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's nothing to do with a man. Nothing. God will use men and women if they're willing to be used, if they believe. Sadly, there's men and women don't believe, and they're out in the mountain, wild and bare, far from it. Father's tender care. Gideon was found hiding for the Midianites. He was only a farmer, but God, he believed God, and from 32,000 men to 300 men, he went to war. That would be enough to frighten any of us. If you went with a part of an army of 32,000, you would think you were it. But the Lord whittled it down to 300. Why? The reason why is that he would get the glory and not man. See, man's looking for it all the time. It's in our nature. And in Judges 8, just come with me to Judges chapter 8, please. Judges chapter 8, we'll commence reading at verse 22. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son, and thy sons also, for thou hast delivered us from the hands of the Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, and neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. They wanted to make him king. They wanted him to rule over him. But he wasn't for it. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that you would give me every man's the earrings of his prey. For they are golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread the garments and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that they requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside the ornaments and collars and purple and raiment that was on the king's of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in the city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither, a horn after it, or following after it, which became a snare unto Gideon and unto his house. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was quietness and quietness 40 years, that the days of Gideon, in the days of Gideon. And Jeroboam, the son of Joash, which dwelt in the house, his own house. And Gideon had 3 and 10 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare a son whose name he called Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulchre of Joash, the father and Ophrah of the Abbasites. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, and the children of Israel turned again and went a whoring after Balaam and the Baal Beleth, their god. Why am I reading this? Because it shows you, even the mighty men of God, they had their failures. Gideon didn't want to rule over them, but he compromised by making an ephod out of the, and putting it in his city. An ephod is a shield or a breastplate, something that a magistrate might wear. But they made an idol of it. We've all got idols. From the unsaved to the saved, we've all got them. Moses in Numbers 21 is because the people had sinned against God, God sent snakes and serpents. And the only way, as they prayed and shouted for help, the only way they would get help is the serpent was on the pole. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In 2 Kings 18, we're told they kept it about 850 years. And why did they keep it? They preserved it. They protected it. They polished it. And they made an idol of it. Man's folly again. Once the men of God are moved on, the people go back to what they're at. In Genesis chapter 14, sorry I have to go with this because it's what the Lord has given me and I'm giving it to you this morning. Genesis chapter 14. Verse 18, please. Or verse 16. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after he returned from the slaughter of Chorodanimah and of the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheva, which is in the king's dale. Methuselah, the king of Salem, brought from him forth bread and wine, and he was the high priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand, and has gave him his tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is in thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made him rich. Save only that the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which were sent with me, Anar and Eshcol and Mahamah, let them take their portion. See the difference in men. Some compromise and some don't. And that's what we have today in our land. Compromising to suit mankind. The authorities, what do they do? They change the law. They change the law to take out God's word. And we are here this morning, washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. In Colossians chapter 1, it says this, He is before all. He is before all things. And by him all things consist. Someone wrote, and rightly so, someone wrote, God is the creator of the universe. So he is. That's true. And that's a fact. Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 says this, that trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But not only is he the creator of heaven and earth, but the controller and the sustaining and the directing of everything with love, power, wisdom, and breath. Our existence depends upon him. That's our God. That's the God that they're rejecting. The God that gave his son. The son that died upon a cross and shed his blessed blood. They rejected him. Away with him. Crucify him. Love. That's what God is. God is love. Power. He can do anything. Everything is possible. He just says it's done by thy spirit. Wisdom. How do we get the wisdom? Taking you on a trip. James chapter 1, please. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. For let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And let the brow of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen when a burning heat but with wherewith the grass and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of the perishing of the perished, so also shall the rich man fade away his ways. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. And so he did. Go to verse chapter 3, please, with me. In chapter 3, verse 13, please. Who is wise? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. There's where we get our wisdom. We get it from God. We get all knowledge. We get it from God. And the breath. I think I said this one time before. If you breathe in and hold it, are you sure of your next one? God gives you all love, power, wisdom, and the breath. Anything you've got, anything we've got, He has gave us. You might say, well, I went to school and I've done this and I've done that, I worked and done that. That's great, but who gave you the energy? Who gave you the health? Who gave you the brains? Who gave you that you could do this? He did. And as Christians, we know that all things come from Him. See, in 1 Corinthians 5 and 17, we're told that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is the difference that we have between the sinner and the saved. It's like an empty building or a place that's getting done up and gets a facelift. You notice the difference right away, inside and out. And John 1, 10, 11 tells us that the incarnation of God coming among us. Think of it. In the flesh as a person of Jesus Christ. In this way, God came moving among us in weakness rather than power. But, still the God-man. Still the God-man. He didn't empty himself. He was still the God-man. And this way alone, we could only be redeemed. What a God we have. What a Saviour we have. In 1 Samuel 13, my brother mentioned it this morning. Maybe we could go to it, please. 1 Samuel 13. And it, we find in verse 11, it's Saul, the king, has took up the priestly office which he intruded in. And Samuel speaks to him in verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly, and thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which commanded he thee. For now would the Lord establish thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." What God says, He means. And what He means, He says. You'll find in Acts chapter 13, would you come with me as well? This is for our learning as well, brothers and sisters. And I might know coming in at verse 16 of Acts 13. And this is Paul. Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said to the men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And I'm saying this morning, friend, if you're tuning in, as Paul has said and beckoned with his hand, ye that fear God, give audience. Do you fear God this morning? Friend, are you listening? Do you fear God? Or do you not believe in God? Or do you disregard him? Well, friend, you're foolish. Because God says you're foolish. You're a fool. Then God said, and then the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people which dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them in and out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. He put up with their ways, same as during the day. He's putting up with the people's way. And it's only the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. What a God we have. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided our land to them by lot. And after he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Cisus, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised him up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which fulfilled all my will. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. A Saviour, Jesus Christ, was promised. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we're so much to thank God for his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We wouldn't be here this morning. We would be out there along the unsaved. And unsaved have to be prayed for, as we do here. I don't know why I told you the story about the wee woman that was wealthy and had plenty of land and great houses. And she had a nurse with her for many, many years. And when the will was read out, everything was given to the family naturally. And there was nothing given to her. Until the lawyer brought this piece of wood in the shape of a cross. And he pressed some part of it and a door, a wee slide door opened in it. and it was full of jewels with a letter inside. And the letter inside, it said this: the cross is worth more than anything. And so it was. And so it is to mankind. It's worth more than anything. The cross is worth everything. And what are they doing? They're rejecting it. Don't want it. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to know. Hank Williams wrote a song, and I have an LP of it still yet, as a great Hank Williams fan. And it says this: when God comes and gathers his jewels of his treasures of diamonds and gold, I'll meet ye up there in the heaven so fair. When God comes and gathers his jewels, we are one of his jewels. Just think of it. A rotten, stinking old sinner am I. A jewel. We're all jewels. It has been said, there's so much bad in the best of us, and so much good in the worst of us. To throw stones, we shouldn't, at any of us. And that's true. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Saviour. I could carry on, but I'm not. I'm going to keep the rest for another day. But I'd like to say this morning, friend, if you're still listening, as you're still giving audience to the Word of God, don't be a fool this morning. Take him at his word. If you're without Christ, you're going to hell. It's a certainty. If he comes back now, you're lost. That's what the saints are looking for. We're looking for the Saviour coming. But he said he'd be back. The angel said he'll come the way he left to the disciples. He'll come back. Where we're in the ground, where will we be? If you're saved, he'll take you home. And we'll be ever with the Lord. Now, you can believe that. You couldn't believe half the things the governments are telling you. Man, they're making all the promises of the day. Eh? One says this, another one says that, another one says this. And all stabbing one another in the back to get power. And here's Gideon says, no, I won't rule over you. They're trying to rule over the people now. Throughout the whole world, they're standing watching Russia flattening Ukraine and the people being killed. Even in the world wars. In the Second World War, we didn't know about what was going on with Hitler and the atrocities that we're doing. But they can see the atrocities that they're doing. And all the world's looking on. The only one man can do it. The Lord Jesus Christ. So friend, this morning, get saved. It'll cost you nothing. Maybe cost you a few friends right enough, but that's about all. But you'll have everything. Ask the members in here, or go to anybody you know that's saved. It's like the building. It was desolate. It was run down. It was depressed. It was distressed. Now it's a new creature. Now it's a new creation. If any man be Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. And we thank the Lord, the Saviour's name. Amen. So remember reading it.
Father, we thank thee for thy word faithfully preached this morning. We thank thee that the Lord is before all things, and by him all things consist. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for they are new every morning. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy great faithfulness, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we pray, Father, for those this morning who have heard this word and be challenged if they're not saved or their need of salvation, that they would come in repentance and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we'd know peace with God, and they'd begin to know the peace of God that passes all understanding, and they would have eternal security through the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee all the praise and all the glory in the Lord's name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.